Welcome to Enabled, the weekly program about people just like you who are dealing with issues of vision loss. The program is designed to encourage you through news you can use, inspirational stories, and interviews. I'm Nancy Zimmer, your host for Enabled. Thank you for joining me. I discovered recently that there are some crazy sports out there, and people who are blind seem to be experiencing them all. Today, you'll hear about dragon boat paddling, cricket, kabaddi, and blind tennis. Yes, blind tennis. First, we're off to the dragon boat races in Hong Kong. This information comes from the Hong Kong Dispatch from the New York Times. The date was July 5th, 2018. The article was written by Russell Goldman and Angie Chan. The headline reads, "Blind and Graying. The Dragon Boat Paddlers Challenge the Impossible." The Darkness Fighters, which is the name of their team, the Darkness Fighters are the only visually impaired team in the annual Hong Kong Festival that blends ritual and rivalry. And now the main part of the article, a blur of boldly patterned jerseys and fluttering banners of green, pink, and yellow, the platinum of a boat's wake against the pewter of the sea, oars paddling in hypnotic unity, all of it made brighter and more vibrant by a glaring summer sun. This is Hong Kong's annual Dragon Boat Festival, a centuries-old tradition throughout Asia that combines sacred rituals with serious competition. Among the competitors last month were the Darkness Fighters. These are Hong Kong's only dragon boat team composed of visually impaired paddlers along with their sighted coaches. Most of them are well past retirement age. Here's a quote, "I am really happy to be here today because I didn't think I would be able to do things like this." So this is according to Sang Jiao Rung, age 72, who began losing her sight 16 years ago and joined the Darkness Fighters this year. For Ms. Sang and the other blind paddlers, joining the team has meant breaking with housebound routines that provide a sense of safety, but also inflict a crushing loneliness. Competing is an opportunity to socialize as well as a chance to exercise. The festival is said to commemorate the suicide of a person called Ku Yuan, a third century poet and patriot, and his community's effort to rescue him from drowning. It is the celebration of teamwork in the face of isolation and desperation. A quote, "It is a group effort," said Annie Wing Chi Lo, age 60, who steadily lost her sight over the past 10 years. And she continues, "It requires our utmost focus and perseverance to enable us to do well." On race day, hundreds of teams from across the territory representing Hong Kong's modern tribes, locals and expats, bankers and fishermen, all meet to compete. The Darkness Fighters' boat is exactly the same as the ones rowed by their sighted competition. They're long, wooden, and tottery, with a dragon figurehead at the prow. 22 paddlers at work. At the front of each boat is a large drum. It's beat to keep the members of the team in time. And by the way, I'll insert a little note here. As you're looking at the website and the press release about this event, the constant drumbeat is in the background, constantly keeping the beat to keep the team members in time. While you're reading all about this information, it's a fascinating website. Even those who can see cannot ensure that they won't smack into the paddlers in front of them or behind them. But the Darkness Fighters must learn exactly where and when to place their oars solely by the sound of the drum. Many of the team's members are participating in an organized sport for the first time in their lives. This is at an age when their peers have retired. There are nearly 175,000 blind people in the city, according to Hong Kong Federation of the Blind, and 65% of these are over the age of 70. Just getting to practice is an achievement. One paddler, Lau Fat, age 65, must take a bus, make 3 subway transfers, and navigate the streets in one of Asia's busiest cities. Here's a quote from Mr. Lau. He says, it's hardest for the newly blind people, he said, who, since losing his sight 5 years ago, has also learned Kung Fu and how to play an erhu, a traditional Chinese stringed instrument. He continues, they need to be convinced that they don't need to be home alone, but should come out to do things. On race day, Mr. Lau said he was nervous, but he found the steady beat of the boat's sound, drumming sound, calming. He said, we are happy to participate, but of course, we want to win. The Darkness Fighters mantra, which the team shouts before carefully getting into the boat, is challenge the impossible. For the blind paddlers, the race has its own sensory delights, the thrum of the drum, the spray of the water, the cheers of the crowd. By the end of the race, they are sopping wet, exhausted, and beaming with pride. They placed fifth out of the eight teams, and they said, we were all on point with our rhythms and didn't mess one another up, Mr. Lau said. That alone is a win for us. And don't forget their mantra before they start the race, challenge the impossible. Next, we have an article from the newspaper called The New Indian Express. This is published in Chennai, India. The date is 7/7/18. A look into blind sports, reads the headline. The visually impaired show stomach for fight. This is a landmark year for the championships as IBSA launched a long-term program with special thrust on promoting female participation. This article is accompanied by a picture showing two young men on a flat green field, bright blue sky behind them. They are both wearing matching royal blue uniforms with writing on the front. They each have gloves on both hands, and they're each holding a cricket paddle up next to them. Big smiles on their faces. The picture is captioned, the Indian team won against Bangladesh by 10 wickets in the ongoing Blind Cricket World Cup on Saturday. This article is contributed by some organization, a person called PTI. Deadline is New Delhi. The dateline is New Delhi. The whistle blows, and two teenage girls dressed in the white judo uniforms lunge forward, eager to knock the other one out. Eventually, one of them manages to pin down the other one. It seems like a standard bout, except that both girls cannot see each other. This is one of the many awe-inspiring sights at the recently concluded USHA 2018 Sports Championships for the Blind. At that event, over 400 participants, including 99 females from 18 states in India, competed in kabaddi, judo, and powerlifting events. Now, again, a note from me here. I'm pretty sure you know what judo is all about. You probably can figure out what powerlifting is about. How about you? Do you know what kabaddi means? I didn't, so I looked it up, and I found out that kabaddi, the official description, is played. They say it's played between two teams on opposite halves of a grass field. Individual players take turns, crossing into the other team's area, saying, kabaddi, kabaddi, kabaddi. Points are scored by tagging opponents without being caught or without running out of breath and before returning to one's home territory. So they have to take a deep breath of air, run over there on the other side, and try to tag the other team. This is all without people on the other team tackling them. I watched a video, and I soon learned that kabaddi involves not only tagging, but quite a bit of that tackling as well. So this is kabaddi. It's spelled various different ways. The main one seems to be K-A-B-A-D-D-I. This is in India. Kabaddi, judo, and powerlifting events were held at the recent sports championships for the blind. At that event, working effortlessly to make these national-level championships possible is Mr. A. David, General Secretary of the Indian Blind Sports Association. Now keep in mind, this IBSA in this article stands for the Indian Blind Sports Association. There'll be more later about another IBSA. The man says, the person who's in charge, "I am very happy to see these kids compete with each other, argue with the referee for every point conceded, because that shows their burning desire to win. That is encouragement enough for us to set up such events," Mr. David told PTI. This is a landmark year for the championships as IBSA launched a long-term program with special thrust on promoting female participation. Here's a quote. "The girls came up and asked me why there wasn't a tournament for them. They kept on seeing boys getting the opportunity, and they did not get to play. It is the need of the hour to have female participation in sports. Someone has to take the initiative," he said. And continuing, "It's the first time we have started female kabaddi and judo, thanks to Usha International. We are planning to reach out to the females. In India, socially, culturally, and religiously, there are many barriers. In addition to that, the disability thing is another barrier. By way of sports, if girls and women come out and play, the experience will empower them. They won't stay home after that. Once they're out, that will encourage education, health, and so forth. That is my aim, and I know it will work," Mr. David added. "India is a sports-loving nation, and it is the same for these participants. For some, the pursuit of the games is an important aspect of their lives. For others, it's a form of entertainment and fun." Here's a quote. "I used to play kabaddi before I was blind. I was a district-level player. I continued playing afterward. I am also a wrestler, and I play blind cricket. I love playing," said the 20-year-old Hanumant Kundale, captain of the Maharashtra kabaddi team. A quote, too, from somebody else. "I like playing because when we play, we are entertained. And since it is a form of exercise, we remain fit as well," says 15-year-old Ananya, who was playing her first kabaddi tournament. For coach Lahut Shivan, who is a national-level player, it is a way to stay in touch with the sport after he sustained a backbone injury. He said, "I feel very good when I teach them. Some of them are older than me, but they still listen to me. I had to take a break from playing after I injured my backbone. My coach was also blind. He suggested that I try my hand here. I like coaching here," Chavyan said. Ask about Ankur Dama from the IBSA, who was the first blind Indian athlete to participate in the Paralympics. And by the way, a little aside here for me, too. I had to look this one up. His name is Ankur Dama, D-H-A-M-A. He's from India. He is a track star. Mr. David says if given proper training and opportunities, even visually challenged players can do wonders. Here's a quote. "India gets a very less number of quota. You have to be the best of the best. Only then you get the opportunity." Dharma's story, this is the track star, Dharma's story is the encouragement or the crown in our work. There are many more, and hopefully in Tokyo we will have a female team. If we are given infrastructural, technical support, training facilities, physios, it will be a great help for these players when they compete international. This is a quote from Mr. David. Well, next we'll switch to another part of the world and another sport. Information came from a website called metroblindsport.org. It's written by Odette Batterell, who is a tennis player herself. And this sort of combines two countries, Japan and Great Britain. The headline reads, "History of Blind Tennis, the Amazing Development of Blind Tennis in the UK since the year 2007. Blind tennis was created in Japan, in Kawagoe, in 1984 by Miyoshi Takai. He was a blind student who wanted to play tennis, and along with his physical education teacher, they decided to adapt this sport. After working several years developing the ball and the rules, as more and more people started to play, the first tournament took place in Japan in October of 1990. Remember, the whole thing started in 1984, so first tournament, 1990. As the game grew and more players took part, the next step was to spread the game internationally. So in 2007, Takai, who started the whole program, embarked on a world tour to spread the game in hope of it becoming one day a Paralympic sport. Early in 2007, the author, Odette Batterell, who is herself a good tennis player, she says, early in 2007, I received an email inviting me to a demonstration of soundball tennis at the Seymour Leisure Center near Baker Street. I was a bit skeptical, but intrigued. How could a blind person play tennis? Well, next I had the good fortune of finding that original flyer that was distributed around London by Mr. Takai. And this is what it reads. On the top it says, Exhibition, London. The next line says, Soundball Tennis for People with Sight Challenges. And then they explain on the poster, a new and exciting sport for all. Fun, competitive, challenging, fast, social, inclusive, and enjoyed by many in Japan for 20 years. Now it's here in London and ready to expand throughout the UK, Europe, and the world. Come and see the Japanese national totally blind and partially sighted champions serving, volleying, slicing, and topspinning against local and international opponents. Don't miss out. Get involved and you'll be hooked. Who's it for? The totally blind, partially sighted, and fully sighted, their families, tennis coaches, sports development officers, PE teachers, anyone interested in playing and getting involved. And how is it played? A rattling ball, a badminton court with a lowered net, tactile lines, enthusiastic tennis lovers, and the rest you'll have to come to see for yourself. And once again, this was on the original flyer that was distributed back in 2007 to try to get people in London to play. So the author continues with the article. She says, so I went out and I was absolutely bowled over and inspired by the amazing demonstration that Takai and his colleagues gave us. I immediately gave him my email contact and I could not wait to start. A few weeks later, Robert Kershaw started some regular sessions, and this is how I joined Metro Blind Sports. We started in a sports hall in Southfields on badminton courts with the help of Brian from the Cheam Tennis Club, whose wife was a puppy walker for guide dogs. We were so taken by the sport that we held our first competition on the 29th of July in 2007. David Samuels won the men's single, and Odette Batterell won the ladies' single. And she is the author of this article. She continues, we then got a few inquiries from friends who were totally blind and wanted to join in too. But at this stage, we did not really know how to coach them. How do you start? What drills do you do? So we decided not to reinvent the wheel, but to go to Japan and learn. Following some successful fundraising, we had enough money to go, and we had the support of the Tennis Foundation, who was also getting intrigued by all these enthusiastic new tennis players. So in May of 2009, just one day after all the planes were grounded due to the volcano eruption in Alaska, Alan Weatherly, Amanda Green, and myself, Odette Batterell, plus two sighted members from the Tennis Foundation, got on a plane to Tokyo. This was an amazing experience. We met a number of blind tennis clubs, met the players, were given demonstrations, and played tennis with each other. And just like us, they enjoyed not only the physical activity, but also the social aspect of being in a group of like-minded people and benefit from the peer support they gave each other and the fun and laughter at the pub after a session on the court. Back in London, we started to run some B1, which means they're totally blind people, B1 tennis sessions, and recruited volunteers from the Highgate Tennis Club, whom we met at one of our tournaments. As more and more players started to play, and as we became more experienced, we wanted to develop the game for it to be as close as possible to tennis as we knew it. So we tried playing on a regular tennis court, using the size of an orange court. And on the other side of the world, the Japanese were also making better balls. Many discussions and debates took place, and actually the game and the rules are still evolving. In the meantime, a number of our players also passed the LTA Tennis Coaching Level 1 and then Level 2. so we could coach too. And we started to work with the Tennis Foundation to develop a module for coaches to coach blind and visually impaired players. We knew that for this game to grow, it had to go beyond Metro Blind Sport, beyond London. So we supported a number of events, like during the Paralympics in 2012, doing demonstrations and coaching across England in Eastbourne, Brighton, York, Sunderland, and other towns. From zero players in 2007, there are now around 600 players who play regularly in the UK. Metro Blind Sport hosted the first few yearly tournaments, and as other clubs grew and started to run their own, the Metro Tournament became the national tournament. The genie was out of the box. It could not be stopped. Soon, the Tennis Foundation gave us more and more support and is now organizing regional and national blind tennis tournaments across the UK and has sent a team to compete in May in the very first international blind tennis tournament in Spain. Blind tennis is growing all around the world. The International Blind Tennis Association, which is abbreviated IBTA, was born after the first International Blind Tennis Congress in Mexico in 2014, where rules were consolidated and players and coaches from different countries came together to share their experiences and good practice. At present, people play blind tennis in over 30 countries. Looks like we are well on the way to make Takai's dream come true, to make blind tennis a Paralympic sport. On Sunday, the 29th of July in 2007, at the Aspire Sports Center in Southfields Community School in Wandsworth in England, a group of 17 blind and visually impaired men and women from all over London and beyond came together for this important event in the history of disabled sport. After 5 solid hours of playing on 3 courts, a round robin with the best of 3 games and semifinals and finals with the best of 5 games, Dave Samuels won the men's singles, and Odette Batterell, again the author of this article, won the women's singles. The trophies were presented by Roy Smith and the chairman of Metro, and Rob Kershaw, a VI sportsman from South Africa. This all came about because the Japanese came to the Seymour Leisure Center in London to give a demonstration of tennis for the blind. Many people were so impressed by their skills and energy, especially from the totally blind players, that the sport became instantly popular. And a little side note here, in 2011, Mr. Takai passed away. He was a victim of a train accident. In fact, the article continues, during 2013, blind tennis had a great evolution, and finally its international launch was completed in February of 2014 with the creation of the International Blind Tennis Association, the IBTA, which now regulates the sport and aims to spread it around the world. In this first Congress, the rules were unified for all countries that practice the sport, leading to the appearance of international regulations. In September of 2015, the second International Congress took place in Italy, where the Executive Committee of the IBTA was established, which is responsible for the organization, coordination, promotion, and the dissemination of blind tennis to the world. So, if you happen to be in London in a few weeks, why not go to the Islington Tennis Center on September 5th from 6 to 8 p.m.? They're offering a class there called Learn Blind Tennis. Hey, why not? If you happen to be in London, that is. Okay, moving on to the next article. You probably noticed, like a thread weaving through all of this, is the IBSA. Earlier in the program, this meant the Indian Blind Sports Association, but here is what Wikipedia says about that organization now. The IBSA is now the International Blind Sports Federation. The International Blind Sports Federation is a nonprofit organization founded in 1981 in Paris, France. The IBSA's mission is to promote the full integration of blind and partially sighted people in society through sport, and to encourage people with a visual impairment to take up and practice sports. The IBSA is a full and founding member of the International Paralympic Committee, the IPC. The IBSA is the International Federation for several sports for people with a visual impairment, including three Paralympic sports, which would be five-a-side football, goalball, and judo. They're also into powerlifting, 10-pin bowling, 9-pin bowling, torball, athletics, alpine skiing, biathlon, swimming, shooting, archery, showdown, Nordic skiing, and cycling. IBSA's showcase event is the IBSA World Championships and Games. These are held every 4 years. The first games took place in 1998 in Madrid, followed by the event in 2003 in Quebec City. The third edition of the games was held in Brazil in 2007, and the 2011 games took place in Turkey. In 2015, the IBSA World Championships and Games were held in Seoul, South Korea, and included competition in powerlifting, judo, goalball, football, chess, 10-pin bowling, tandem cycling, swimming, showdown, and athletics. Now, I mentioned torball. I had to look this one up, too. It's a sport for the blind and visually impaired. It's played by two teams on opposite sides of an indoor playing field. Each team consists of three players. In the middle part of the field, there are three cords stretched across the entire width of the field. On each end of the playing field, there's a goal that also stretches the entire width. The playing ball is similar to a soccer ball that has bells inside of it, so it can be heard when it's rolling across the playing field. The object of the game is to score as many goals as possible by rolling the ball under the three cords into the goal of the opposing team. These three-player teams are both attackers and defenders during the 2 5-minute periods. I also mentioned showdown. This is a sport for blind and visually impaired people, which could be described as the blind community's answer to air hockey or table tennis. It's growing very quickly around the world. It's also played by sighted players, but they're not allowed to participate in the International Blind Sports Federation tournaments. Showdown is widely spread in Europe, but it's also played in Africa, Asia, North America, and South America. To play showdown, let's see, the equipment, okay, the sports is comparatively inexpensive to start up, requires minimal maintenance, and can be played in a room the size of a classroom. You do need a specially designed table, two paddles, and a special ball into which BBs have been put to make it audible. You also have to wear some goggles and a glove to protect the batting hand. Well, to end today's program, I have a quote for you that was inspired by that first story about dragon boats. It was originally said by Martin Luther King Jr. "We may have all come on different ships, but we are on the same boat now." Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great week. You've been listening to Enabled, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Our technical director is Maureen Rich, and I'm Nancy Zimmer. I hope you'll join me again next week for more updates and information and encouraging stories. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can listen to it at our website, wxxi.org.